This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, July 9th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. If you're used to scrolling through TikTok and seeing videos of people pranking each other or acting out sketches or dancing, basically anything but politics, well, that could be changing. We report that TikTok is allowing more political content on its platform, and that could be part of a play to break into new markets. Our reporter Georgia Wells will join us to explain what's going on after these headlines. The Treasury Department released data this week about the companies that received funding through the government's Paycheck Protection Program. The funds were supposed to help small businesses weather the pandemic, but the report shows that venture-backed tech startups took in billions of dollars through the program. The finding has reignited the debate over whether VC-backed companies should have gotten any money in the first place. Some in Silicon Valley say taxpayers shouldn't be responsible for venture capitalist losses, but others argue that investors have stopped writing checks and that hard-hit startups really need the cash. And 2 years ago, Facebook hired auditors to take a look at its policies around civil rights on the platform, like hate speech and voter suppression. The auditors were led by an attorney from the American Civil Liberties Union, and yesterday they announced their findings. The team said Facebook isn't doing enough to address problematic content on the site. Our reporter Jeff Horwitz is here to explain. Jeff, tell me about this report. What did it say?
It was pretty strikingly negative about Facebook's overall progress, unlike the last couple of reports from the same auditors. This one really seemed to think that Facebook had perhaps taken some steps back on really important things, from combating political misinformation to, you know, recognizing content that posed legitimate threats to minority communities and acting on them. And that's, I'd say, a fairly harsh review that kind of largely reinforced the things that the civil rights advocates who have been pushing this Facebook boycott have been saying.
And did the auditors make any specific recommendations about what Facebook should do?
Oh, quite a few. There's the one thing where Facebook has said it's kind of inclined to go with the plan that they proposed is to hire someone senior to address civil rights issues at the company internally. So sort of a dedicated position to that. There were a lot of other things that the auditors also recommended, from rethinking and potentially reversing some of Facebook's decisions regarding President Trump's social media posts about looting and shooting and about mail order ballots, as well as a call for them to simply invest more in a lot of these things. In particular, they suggested the company had failed to put the resources necessary into protecting Muslim and Jewish communities from hate speech on the platform.
Yeah, you mentioned the civil rights advocates before, who have been pushing Facebook to make changes in a lot of these areas. Does this finding add fuel to their fire?
Oh, it seems like it. I mean, an entity that Facebook paid to study it for 2 years has generally concluded that the complaints of civil rights organizations are legitimate and there are serious and concerning problems at Facebook, some of which stem back to Mark Zuckerberg's free speech push last year, which the auditors said reflected kind of a very narrow definition of free speech and that left a lot of the company's other values perhaps hanging in the wind.
So how has Facebook been responding in the wake of this report?
So Facebook was very gracious about this. A note from Sheryl Sandberg says that the company really appreciates the hard work that went into this, that they recognize that they have a lot of work to do. I think Facebook has acknowledged that there are many things the auditor said that are problematic, but that there's also some praise for the company. And perhaps the company deserves some credit for at least undertaking this sort of review, which is not something we've seen from any other tech platform.
All right, our reporter Jeff Horwitz, thanks for stopping by.
You're very welcome.
Okay, up next, TikTok is becoming a place where you might see political content alongside all those videos of people dancing with their dads. We'll talk about why after the break. Welcome back. Today, we're talking about TikTok. You might know TikTok as your one-stop shop for dance-offs, pranks, lip-syncing videos, and more. But lately, we've been starting to see another kind of content on TikTok. Over the past few months, users have been posting videos of protests and political rallies, and moderators have been letting those posts stay up. That's a pretty big departure for the Chinese company, which has pitched itself as a place for more lighthearted entertainment. Our reporter Georgia Wells has been looking into why this is happening, and she joins us now to explain. Georgia, thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so tell us more about the kinds of posts we've been seeing.
When the Black Lives Matter protests began after the killing of George Floyd, users on TikTok started posting images from protests, from looting, violence. There was one video of a man who had been shot in the face, and the people in the video said it was from the police. And some of these videos performed very, very well on TikTok and got millions of views. Former moderators we've spoken to explained that these are videos that in the past would not have appeared on TikTok because they would have been considered too political.
And we've also seen people use TikTok to organize, right?
Yeah, exactly. A group of users on TikTok organized there to all reserve tickets for President Trump's first main reelection rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the plan for them was to reserve the tickets and then not attend. The campaign kind of later said that that didn't actually impact the turnout at the event, which was much lower than had been anticipated. But nonetheless, it showed that users were pushing the boundaries on the types of organizing and political statements that were bubbling up to the top of the app.
And as you mentioned, this kind of stuff is stuff that would have been removed from the site before. TikTok is known for being super PG. A lot of the content is really lighthearted. So why the shift?
For this story, we spoke with TikTok's head of app safety in the U.S., and he said that in the early days, TikTok used very blunt strategies, kind of all in the sake of trying to keep the platform as positive as possible. And so here, you can see the evolution, the shift of the company, kind of the maturation of its thinking around attempting to remove all political content. As TikTok has gotten bigger and bigger in the U.S. and Europe and other countries, it faces this challenge because, the app was built under a Chinese legal system that involves concessions to censorship. Now, expanding in the U.S. and elsewhere, it risks alienating users who are accustomed to free expression. And so that explains, in part, this shift to allowing users to post more political content and post more content that would be culturally sensitive in other countries, but is more accepted in the U.S. and other Western countries.
But allowing more of that kind of content could also put TikTok in a pretty tricky position, one that a lot of other tech companies are really struggling to navigate right now, of being kind of moderators of political speech and free expression online. So how is TikTok handling that prospect?
TikTok has opened up hubs. There's one in Singapore, there's one in Dublin, there's one in Los Angeles. And so their plan is to tweak rules and policies to the local markets in order to adhere to local standards and laws around what's acceptable and what's legal to say. And that's an interesting model because while Facebook and Twitter and other social media companies certainly do adjust things a bit country by country, there's not quite such a fragmentation of what's allowed depending on the region and what's culturally or legally allowed there.
And how exactly does it do that? Are there human moderators for everything? Are there algorithms?
Mm-hmm. TikTok relies on algorithms as well as humans. The algorithms are trained to search for different things that might violate the rules, and then humans will also look at things that the algorithm or that other users have flagged as potentially violating the rules. And that, in part, is the challenge because the rules are only as good as a company's application of them. And so then TikTok has the challenge of training the moderators and also adjusting AI that is not perfect to catch everything consistently.
So allowing more types of content isn't the only big shift we've seen from TikTok lately. It's also hired former American Disney executive Kevin Mayer as its CEO. We talked yesterday about how TikTok pulled out of Hong Kong after a controversial new national security law from China. You touched on this earlier, but is there a strategy behind all of these moves?
TikTok has grown tremendously over the past couple of years. The more users and the more countries they're operating in, the harder it is to please everyone. For example, moderators mentioned that tattoos were one of the first cultural issues that they were allowed to start loosening up on. And so at first, they could leave up videos of small tattoos, such as little butterflies. And then now, if you log on, you can see videos from Tommy Lee, the drummer from Motley Crue, and Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. And they both have extensive tattoos. And so that, in part, kind of illustrates this evolution. Kevin Mayer comes from Disney, where he's well-versed in dealing with authorities in China. While Kevin was at Disney, the company cleared numerous movies with Chinese censors. Chinese censors are known for scrutinizing every frame of a film. In coming to TikTok, Kavanaugh's bringing some of this experience of how to placate authorities in both countries and what sorts of changes might need to be made in order to appeal to audiences in different regions.
And not just audiences, right? TikTok is also facing tremendous pressure from governments, especially Washington. Lawmakers there are really concerned about its Chinese ownership, right? So is Mayer and this move to allow more kinds of content, are these ways to navigate those concerns and gain popularity in the American market?
Lawmakers in Washington have said that they are concerned that TikTok may moderate content in order to promote pro-China views. TikTok has said that they do not moderate content in order to promote pro-China views. The other concern from lawmakers is around the data that TikTok collects and how that could be passed to the Chinese government. TikTok has said that it has not and will not pass data about American users to the Chinese government. Either way, many American lawmakers don't appear convinced yet. And so I think it's safe to assume that hiring Kevin is not an accident for TikTok. Kevin is an American executive, and he has extensive credibility and experience coming from Disney. And at the same time, we're also seeing TikTok loosening the rules and restrictions on the types of videos that users are allowed to post. That fits a little bit more with an American cultural kind of sensibility around freedom of expression.
So I guess the big question is this play working? Are we seeing big downloads?
TikTok's 315 million downloads in the first quarter were the most ever for an app in one quarter, according to this research from Sensor Tower that tracks this stuff. It's astonishing growth.
Wow. Our reporter, Georgia Wells, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that was your tech news briefing. We've got more tech stories on WSJ.com, so check us out there. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.